This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Today on CityCast Chicago, we're about halfway through Ramadan, the Muslim holy month marked by charity, spiritual reflection, and also daily fasting. And if you're like me, there are definitely people in your life who are observing Ramadan right now, and their fasts are broken each evening with a meal called an iftar. So we joined a community iftar on Chicago's Northwest Side, serving up over 200 pounds of food for the hundreds who come in each day. We grabbed a plate and learn why Ramadan is about so much more than just fasting. It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About. I'm currently here at the Muslim Community Center in Old Oving Park at a community iftar as folks are coming together for evening prayer and to break fast for the day as they continue their observance of Ramadan. I'm here with Amjad Qadri. Amjad, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Thank you for having us and visiting our institution.
No, I'm happy to be here. We're going to learn a little bit about this building, a little bit about what it means for people to come together for an iftar at the end of the day. But for folks listening, can you set us up? For people who are not familiar, what is the holy month of Ramadan?
So Ramadan is one of our five pillars, and it is the month where Muslims will fast from dawn to sunset. So that means about an hour and a half or so before sunrise, and at the moment that's right before about 5:45, and up until 7 p.m., they will not eat or drink anything throughout the day. So they'll get up ahead of time, like myself, I'll get up, have some water, and then I'll take my medicine, and then I'll eat a proper meal at sunset. But a lot of people will get up and they'll have a normal breakfast. They'll have cereal, they'll have eggs, they'll have...
They'll just do it a little bit earlier before the sun.
Yes, yeah.
So I imagine during Ramadan, for different people, that might require different conditions. So if you're thinking about elders, if you think about super young children, if you think about people who are pregnant, are there different maybe considerations for individuals during Ramadan?
Yes and no. So anyone that cannot fast due to health or age or anything like that, they're not supposed to.
Okay.
But aside from that, if you can, you should. So we have younger kids, our now 9-year-old. Last year, we would tell him, have breakfast, you can skip lunch, and then you can eat with us in the afternoon. So he wouldn't wake up at 5 a.m. Whereas the 9-year-old this year now, he was 8 last year, he actually does get up and eats, and then he doesn't eat all day. So it just depends. And then the elderly, it's really up to them. They're maybe, as it goes with a lot of elderly, they are more religiously conscious. So it doesn't matter what's happening, they're trying to fast. So
now Ramadan is a month. This year, I believe it goes from March 10th to about April 9th, but it isn't consistent every single year. If my understanding is correct, it moves up every year. So next year it'll be, if I understand correctly, 11 days earlier, and then the following day, 11 days earlier. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. 10 to 11 days earlier. We follow the lunar calendar.
Okay.
And the lunar calendar is about 10 to 11 days less than the solar calendar, which is why it moves up every year. So had you come in the middle of summer, we'd be fasting almost from about 4 a.m. to about 8:30 when the sun used to go down. I mean, it's going to come up.
So the summer is a tougher Ramadan, obviously.
Definitely, definitely tougher. So, that's not going to come for us, for another 30 years or so.
I was going to say 2028, 2029, when you're in January, it might be a little bit easier.
Yes, yes, yeah. So, if someone has to make up days, like I travel a lot for work. When you travel, again, it's one of the reasons why you don't have to fast. So if I decide to skip a couple of days when I'm traveling, then if I have to make them up, I'll make them up in the winter days. So outside of the not eating part, you know, it's not just not eating. Throughout the day, we're also supposed to stay away from, you know, getting easily angry. Though, as we all know, there's that term hangry. And so, you know, if you're not eating, you're very likely to be hangry, but that's where you're supposed to practice patience more. Also, you're supposed to abstain from intimacy, any relations with your spouse. So keeping all that in mind, that's what you do. And then at night, because any good deed that you do in the month of Ramadan is multiplied, you're supposed to do extra remembrance. So after, all Muslims have 5 daily prayers, and our last prayer in the evening at the moment starts about 8:45, 9 o'clock. And so there's actually extra prayers. And what most people try to do is they try to finish all of the Quran, at least listening to it with congregation in prayer. So every night, if here you'll see it at most mosques from 9 to about 10:30, 11 o'clock, the mosques are full, the parking's full, the streets are full, and people are standing for majority of it listening to 1/30th of the Quran or 1/27th, just so they probably finish about 27 days, 29 days, depending on where you go.
No, we really appreciate y'all letting us come.
No problem, anytime.
My name is Shahad Syed. I am actually the building chair at MCC. I've been serving this role for around 2 years. So we've been managing all sorts of activities happening at the mosque.
What is that? What does the month personally mean for you? How do you prepare and give back during the month?
So this month, I mean, I work all year long, but this is the month of forgiveness. I look at all the blessings that have been bestowed upon me and upon our community. But on the other side, I look at all the atrocities happening where we don't have any control over things. One of the beauties about my religion is that I have nothing between my creator and myself when it comes to asking for. There's no intermediary. So basically, I turn around every now and then, and I ask our Creator to give sabr, patience to those who are suffering for no fault of theirs. And this is happening globally.
Oh, so my name is Amal. I am a volunteer, not just with MCC, but with the city of Chicago, with All Around. So I'm just a kind of a city volunteer. So a big thing with our religion is during the year, as well as during the month of Ramadan, we give back, right? Mm-hmm. So in not just in like your own time and labor, but it's financial. It's part of our religion to ensure that those next to you, your neighbors, and those that are coming into the city, those that are coming into this country for the first time, they're getting the sustenance they need. So part of my work is around ensuring that new refugees have a place to come here, but also, rental assistance and utility assistance and so forth. But what we help probably close to, it's like a couple thousand families a year where they're coming through and we're helping, especially during this month. It's going to be around 500 families that we help.
Because part of Ramadan is also, we are fasting not just to restrain ourselves, but to understand that there are people in the world that it's not a choice for them. You know, what's coming out of Gaza is just heart-wrenching. Every day you hear of a family member that's lost a family member. One of the imams that grew up or was in this area, who's in California now, he said the whole family is gone now. Like everyone that was there, they're all in an apartment building. It got bombed and the whole family is gone. And stuff like that, to hear that is just devastating. And, you know, one of the imams said, every time you're breaking fast, just at least make a prayer for them.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
for the typical person who's coming in, you know, right before sundown, what is that sort of order of operations when you come in? Like if you're here for an hour or so, what does that look like from the moment you come in through the evening?
So most people that come in, if they haven't done their third prayer of the day, their afternoon prayer, they will come, they'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll sit down usually and they'll read Quran. The Quran is in Arabic. So even for those of us that aren't native Arabic speakers like myself, we are taught how to read the Quran from when we're little. So they'll do that and they'll sit and contemplate. And then a few minutes before it's time to eat, everyone will go get their plates. Usually it's a little bit of fruit. The tradition is to break with a date or water, or date and water, or milk. So you'll see a lot of that. So before they break, the adhan is called, which is a call to prayer. And so the call to prayer starts. Everyone breaks their fast, and as soon as they're done with small snacks, then they'll make the congregation prayer, which is the post-sunset, our fourth prayer of the day. When they're done, then they'll go and they'll get a full plate of whatever the meal happens to be that day.
For you throughout your life, are there any staple foods that you can expect besides dates that maybe are in that meal after fourth prayer? Like, you can't really have a post-prayer meal if some of these things aren't there.
For me, yes, there is. I'm of the Desi, which is the Indian Pakistani background.
Okay.
And we have what are called samosas, mm-hmm. Little triangles, usually meat-filled, but they can also be vegetable-filled or potato-filled. And for me, a Ramadan is not really Ramadan without having some samosas. So that's definitely one for me and probably a large group of people. And then being from the Hyderabad, well, half of my family is from the Hyderabad area in India. There's also something called dhembare, which is a yogurt-based fried almost chips. Mm-hmm. And so that's like if someone made that, like I'm not even eating anything else in Ramadan. Like I'll have just a lot of that and I'll be good.
Obviously the Muslim world is vast and is made up of so many different ethnic and racial backgrounds. What are just some other, maybe as you've been coming to this center throughout your life, what are some other foods that you've just seen over the years maybe be added as more people migrate from a place or have been staples since you can remember?
So obviously hummus is definitely one of them. Olives would be another one. Then chickpeas, there's multiple chickpea dishes that I've seen in all of the different traditions, whether it's our Sudanese brothers, Somalian brothers, and they even have versions of the samosa. They call it the sambosa,
okay.
Which is a little bit bigger, but just as tasty, I've noticed. So then one of the staple dishes for dinner time will be like biryani.
Okay.
And that's what I've known growing up is what we did mostly. As our community got more ethnically diverse, you know, you'll have the lamb shank rice dishes from either the Yemeni community or the Arab community, or the lamb roast, you know, so it changes. I couldn't even tell you what we're going to have tonight. Had you come in the early years, I can guarantee you there'd be biryani because that's what it was almost every night. But now I know it changes because the cooks are volunteers.
I was going to say, who's doing the cooking during Ramadan?
Yeah, you know, for years, I mean, when I grew up, I knew them because they were my friends' parents that did it. So they were of the Indian Pakistani origin. But then it changed to a couple of the Arab brothers started volunteering in the kitchen and then they took over. So for a while it was an Afghani brother, then it was a Moroccan brother from what I remember.
So we'll just go ahead and we'll have some
enjoy
food.
The dinner.
Thank you. All right. We'll come back for chai. And when I open the door, this is the backside. This is where all the action is happening. So you can quick peek.
The amount of people is ridiculous. So the line was much shorter when we were little.
How does this compare to maybe the biggest or smallest iftar? Like how does it range throughout the month or is it consistently?
It's consistent. We're feeding about 400 to 500 people every night, I would say. So yeah.
I feel bad when taking place, people in line. They're like, who are those people with that microphone going through the back door?
part of being Muslim is guessy first, so they know, like, they know the drill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regina. It looks like we got some biryani, some pita, some little cucumber salad. It looks like tabbouleh. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing on that last one.
Does anyone else want tea? I'm going to grab some tea. You're good with that? You want some more? Okay.
How long have you been visiting this particular center?
I am 48 years old, so 48 years.
Oh, man.
Well, that's not true. So we were established in 1969 as an organization, but we bought this center in 82. So since 82, we had a center in Kedzie. We probably started feeding the community almost instantaneously, definitely for about 40 plus years, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit longer than that. And you know, the meals, the nice thing about it is it's free to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyone that walks in, there's no check at the door. Are you Muslim, not Muslim? And because we are such a multiracial community, you would never know. You know, unless someone really tried to make themselves stick out, you can come, eat, and leave, and no one would know, you know, whether you came here every day or you didn't. So. Yeah.
I was going to say, this seems like people of all walks of life, as you walk through here, young kids and older folks, what has it been like to watch this place grow and to take in new families and new people over your lifetime?
It's been a blessing to see it grow. For a lot of people that don't have community, this is a very migrant-heavy community. You know, their family might be overseas. They just came here for work, or they just recently came here. This is their community. So this gives them a sense of belonging. So it's beautiful to see it grow. It loses that homey feeling that we had when the community was small. You know, I mean, even with our own family, when the community was small, I remember all our second, third cousins, we'd all get into my dad's basement and we'd have a gift exchange. Mm-hmm. Now, if we try to do a gift exchange, there's like 100 kids. Like, you know, it takes a whole like Excel sheet to coordinate a gift exchange. It's not just as someone buys a bunch of gifts. So it's just changed over time. And so when we see all these people and we're wondering who they are, it's amazing, having grown up, being one of like the only couple of kids in school that was Muslim. Like the other day, Shaq was talking to Kareem, both of them Muslim, and they greeted each other on national TV, on TNT, saying salam, peace be upon you, to each other. And then when they were done, or they might have done it when they were done, but you know, they said inshallah, which is God willing, this will happen, like we'll see each other again. And you know, I'm choked up by that because I didn't grow up seeing that. I saw Kareem growing up, I knew he was Muslim, but I didn't see him speaking Arabic on national TV, saying assalamu alaikum, you know. But now our kids see Miss Marvel in a hijab. And so to them, being Muslim is just normal. To us growing up, we were the other. We kind of, you know, had to hold our own. So it's a beautiful thing, but you also miss, like, you know, the closeness and knowing everyone. Like, I knew everyone that came to the mosque back then. Now my kids, you know, there's no way they know all the kids that come to the mosque. So, yep.
We talk so much about the practice throughout the month, but it all sort of in many ways culminates with a celebration at the end, I believe 3 days of celebration. Can you describe what Eid is for folks?
Yeah, so Eid is commanded by God to be a day of celebration. You're supposed to have a good meal before you go to prayer. The Eid prayer happens early in the morning. So usually for most folks, it's 9 or 10 o'clock. And you're supposed to visit family and friends and just have a jolly day. Again, when we were young, all we did is we met together as family. And for us, that was fun because there was enough kids. We would play football, or, you know, whether it was football on our knees in the basement, or even there's a lot of football in upstairs. There's a lot of classrooms for the Sunday school and the Saturday school. But now it's gotten to a point where we do Eid carnivals. So a lot of mosques will bring in like rides for kids on the weekend after Eid and make it a proper celebration. So, but we will make sure we have a jump house. We'll make sure, you know, one of the uncles got, I say uncles, he's younger than me, but one of the elders that has kids got like pony rides for the kids, you know, like, so we'll do what we can to make sure that they understand it's a day of celebration.
For someone like myself who, you know, doesn't observe, who isn't fasting, what's something I can learn during Ramadan, even if I'm not sort of participating day to day?
Our other location at the moment has an interfaith dinner going on. And a lot of it is spurred with just the religious community trying to keep, keeping a good relation with each other. And to the best that we can, a lot of us are struggling with the same thing, probably struggling with the same thing with our youth. And, you know, one of the things, and I'll sound repetitive here, but really what we want to make sure the month of Ramadan is a month of reflection. If we leave the month of Ramadan the same as we came in, really nothing happened. So the goal is to be able to add a good deed that you're doing in the month of Ramadan that you can keep consistent throughout the year. And then the goal is to be able to add to that the year after. So, you know, if that means that you decided, hey, in the month of Ramadan, I'm going to give a little bit to different charities every month, then you try to keep that up throughout the year. Or if I'm going to volunteer some extra time during the month of Ramadan to do that throughout the year. And really, when we are staying away from the food, to not let it just be some kind of dietary plan,
yeah,
but to really be a reflection of the fact that we are better off, and to make sure that we're doing what we can to make sure that the people that aren't, we help them as much as we can.
Now, the MCC isn't the only organization putting on community events during Ramadan. Tomorrow night, you can catch the Taste of Ramadan downtown, put on by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Then on April 3rd, the Inner City Muslim Action Network is hosting a community iftar in Chicago Lawn. We've got links to both events in the show notes. Before we let you go, for more news and events, stay tapped into our website, chicago.citycast.fm. I know I say this every day, but seriously, our events calendar isn't just the big stuff. Like tomorrow, for example, I'm also excited for the Sox home opener and Bad Bunny selling out the United Center. But there's a really great egg hunt happening in Austin you might be interested in, a non-alcoholic happy hour in West Town, and a bird safety class at the Harold Washington Library downtown, right? How did I know all that? Well, I'm subscribed to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago. And where did I sign up for it? Chicago.citycast.fm. That's full circle for you. Something you can only get on the podcast, some good news. I'm not saying the podcast is the only place you can get good news, like in your life, but in the CityCast Chicago ecosystem, it's the only place I'm singing it on the regular. Today is my mother's birthday, and I just wanted to give her a personal shout out and say how much I love you, how much I appreciate you, how much I'm proud of you. You literally the coolest MF I know, so I'm hoping today is the absolute best birthday it can be. I'm gonna see you later today. For the rest of y'all, I appreciate y'all listening to the podcast, and whether it's your birthday or not, you are a star in my eyes. We're gonna be here bright and early tomorrow. Hopefully you'll join us. And if you can, bring some new friends and family along with you. I'm gonna talk to you soon. Peace.
Okay.
My name is Jacoby. Today I had some yogurt with a little granola on top.
And then you could say your name again.
My name is Amjin. I haven't eaten at all today.
And that's kind of what we're here to talk about.
And I can't sing at all. I don't even know why I'm trying.
I appreciate you getting in the spirit with me, Amjad.